back here on Sports Talk. We believe in the power of being everywhere. Listen to WWL anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app. Tune in, and now on the iHeartRadio app. Get the shows you love and the local content you crave on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn apps. We are everywhere, folks. Now getting on to the NBA draft talk with one of our favorites, Will Guillory from The Athletic, stopping by. Will, how you been doing, man? I know it's been a busy week or so.
Yeah, man, it's the busy time over here on the NBA side of things. So it's been crazy. It's been not as crazy as some people expected, but still a lot of unexpected things going on in the past couple of days for sure.
Yeah, going from draft night until even last night with the, you know, acquisition of the Kevon Looney for the Pels, I just feel like there's been a lot of hate around the organization right now. I kind of understand the trade more than the discussed around the addition of a veteran center that can do some dirty work for you, give you some quality minutes, and be a nice rotational piece. Just curious on your overall thoughts on the Pels' addition of the former Warrior.
No, I think it's an excellent move by Joe Dumars and the front office staff. I mean, we already knew they needed one more big after getting Derek Queen, bringing back Eve Meese and Carlo Mackovich, of course, and just having a guy who can come in, bring that championship experience, but also be a mentor for some of your younger bigs. People out there with the Warriors talk a lot about, Looney's presence in the locker room, how much he helped some of those young guys over the past couple of years, and I think that was a big reason why the Pels targeted Looney with the thought that he can help some of their young bigs come along. I think he's going to be a big presence for this team. And also, we know this team fell off a lot at rebounding last year. That was one of the worst parts of the team. And we know Kevon Looney is a guy who just eats up boards on both sides of the court. So I think he kind of fits everything that they needed, and he got him at a pretty decent price.
Yeah, $8 million a year for a rotational center. And I'm right there with Steve, Will. Like, you see Kevin Pelton from ESPN giving the Pelicans a D grade for this. I don't get it at all. Like, I know the Boot Crew had a post about this, their center rotation from last year to this year, where it's like Daniel Tice and Eve Meese in his rookie campaign. And then you go from that. And there's been also a little bit of debate, so I'll get your thoughts on this as well. I think that Looney's just going to be a rotational big. He's been reliable as all get out over the past 4 years, playing basically 78 and a half games per season for the Golden State Warriors over that stretch. And he's going to be someone that provides about 20 minutes per game for you at the five, and having the quality big minutes behind someone like Eve Meese, who's going into his second campaign with the Pelicans, I think is super, super critical.
Absolutely. And I think some people were questioning whether he might come in and be a starter. I think, it's definitely got to be Eve Meese in my mind. I think a lot of people are kind of sleeping on how good Eve Meese is and how good he was during his rookie season. I got big expectations going for him in the year two, building on his body a little bit, adding to some of his game. I think he's due for a really big sophomore season. And I think, having Looney in there to kind of compliment him and some of the things he does, obviously having that connection with Jordan Poole, former teammates with the Warriors, they can operate a little bit with those second units, having that familiarity together. I think a lot of people, don't realize that, we've been watching this guy for so long that he's still only 29 years old, right? He's not like a super old guy. So I think, he's a guy who could be a part of this thing for the next couple of years, and you're not worried about him kind of falling off a cliff, kind of like Daniel Tice was last year. So I think they feel pretty good about where he is. Obviously his minutes were fluctuating out there in Golden State. I think part of that is just their style of play and their struggles just finding spacing around Steph Curry. But with this team, man, I think he's going to fit in really well and kind of provide everything that they need on and off the court.
Well, we had you on before the draft, and you had mentioned to us about some of the prospects the Pels could be a good fit here, or they'd be interested with that number 7 pick. And you mentioned Jeremiah Fears. Just curious how you think that – what do you feel about Fears fitting in with this squad? And, how many – do you think, immediately make a, impact on this squad or kind of be – more off the bench guy, and I can't see him as maybe getting that starting role right off the bat.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent pick. I was screaming the whole way through the draft, just take whichever one of the guards fall to you, whether it was Trey Johnson, Con Knipple, or Jeremiah Fears. I think all of those guys are super talented. I think Fears is probably the one out of those three who I would say probably needs a little bit more time to develop and grow. I mean, he was one of the youngest freshmen in America last year. Coming into college, he's still only 18 years old right now. So he needs time a little bit just to develop physically, mentally. I think it's going to be important for them to get him around some of those vets in the Pelicans locker room. But I think when you just watch him play, man, his skill just jumps off the screen, his ability to make plays off the dribble, just his comfort in pick and roll situations, knowing how to take advantage of angles, space. He can hit shots from all over the place. I think that's the big question for him coming in as a rookie. How is he going to be as a three-point shooter? You know, whenever you're playing next to Zion Williamson, that's the question for everybody. Is can you make threes? Can you space the floor for Zion? But I think Fierce can bring so many other things. So I expect him to get playing time. I mean, they still got, you know, Jordan Hawkins and Jose Alvarado and some of these other guys, and we'll see how many of those guys are still around when the season starts. I think, you know, there's still some moving around that the Pelicans might be doing. But I expect Fierce for sure to get playing time. I would say Poole right now is probably the favorite to be the starting point guard, but I think you got to find a way to get Fierce in there just so he can develop. And also, I think he'll bring a different dynamic with that second unit as well.
You know, it's a good point, and I wanted to actually get your thoughts on Derrick Queen as well, Will, because with both of these selections, the thing that Steve and I have talked about over the past few weeks with different reporters, whether it be national or local, is Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver swinging for ceiling. With Jeremiah Fears, there's questions about his defense. He's a smaller guard. He had, you know, poor three-point shooting splits. There's question marks there, but then you watch him with the ball in his hands, and he's just spectacular. And the ceiling of this kid, because he's only 18 years old, he's not turning 19 until October, very, very fascinating. And then you look at someone like Derrick Queen, who's maybe a little bit more NBA ready, because despite being a freshman with Maryland last year, he's already 20 years old. He's kind of got the NBA body with a 6'9", 6'10" frame, 250 pounds. And he could be, you know, a four for you. He could be a five and maybe some small ball lineups, but a super, super skilled big man, especially offensively. And the ceiling for him as well, they're both very tantalizing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Derrick Queen, he is just an extremely talented big man. I've been watching a lot of Derrick Queen the past couple of days, just kind of taking in, you know, everything he did in college. And I think what you saw a lot from him at Maryland, another Louisiana connection, was he played in the front court with Andrew Reese's younger brother, Julian Reese, at Maryland. And you saw so many times him playing in the high post, Derrick Queen, and finding Julian Reese around the basket, hitting him with those bounce passes, lobs over the top, playing that high low game as a 4-5. And every time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, man, how would that look with Zion Williamson down on a low block? How would that look, him throwing lobs to Zion, or him playing in transition and finding Z? And I think that's going to be such an interesting dynamic with Queen, how much they kind of give him the freedom to do all of the things, because he's able to do so much as a big man. And I think he's extremely talented the way he handles the ball and the way he's able to play out in the open floor where most big men want to be in the paint. I think he feels very comfortable playing on the perimeter and, you know, making plays for himself and others. But the more he can do that, the more I think he's going to bring the best from the people around him. And I think it's going to be fascinating to see how much they kind of just give him the keys and let him roll with that second unit during his first season, because I think he's got a lot of special in him. But I think, you know, again, what they really need from those second unit big guys is rebounding, defense, right? That's the stuff that they were lacking so much last year. So I think, yeah, in order to play for Willie Green, you got to play defense, right? And if you're a big man, you got to rebound. And I think that's what Queen needs to focus on. But, man, when you watch him, he can bring so many other things to the game, and you would love to see him kind of show some of that during his rookie season.
This is a quick follow-up here, Will. You know, Mike brought this up when we were talking with Joel Myers earlier in the show, that we had Coach Boog Sadler, Coach Tavon Sadler, the head coach at Nichols, on, you know, back around March Madness. He talked about the Crab Five with Maryland, and obviously Derrick Queen being the main piece of that Crab Five. And he was the director of player personnel at Maryland before he became the head coach at Nichols. And he's very familiar with all the talented young players that they had at Maryland this past season that made that run in the postseason as well in the NCAA tournament. And he said that Derrick Queen is someone that just provides such high upside and star potential. That's the one thing that kept standing out to me. It's just like, for the people that talked about the trade-up that the Pelicans made from 23 to 13, everyone seems to think, oh, it's only that they jumped 10 spots. But Joe Dumars, after the draft, had said that they accounted for next year. And this is just a theory that I have, and Steve and I have talked about this as well, that they probably had Fears one spot above Queen on their board, and that's why they ultimately took Fears with the 7th overall pick. But, Will, I imagine that both of these players, Fears and Queen, were top 5, top 6 players on their board for the 2025 draft. Like, Derrick Queen was nowhere near 13th on their board. They loved him, and they loved him for a reason, because he has this super high upside, the star potential, like I had just mentioned, and like Coach Boog Sadler mentioned earlier, too.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think, obviously, you know, they're getting a lot of criticism over the trade and giving up that unprotected pick next year. And it's a massive risk to give up an unprotected pick like that for a team that, you know, at the very least is going to be in a struggle to make the playoffs this year with so many great teams in the West. But you're exactly right. If you're going to make that deal, you got to do it with the idea that you're going for a guy who you think really has that star potential. And they have tremendous belief in Derek Queen. And you heard it from Joe Dumars on draft night. He said they were trying to trade up for Derek Queen as early as pick number 9. They had both of those guys right in the same range, and they wanted to go up immediately and jump back into the higher parts of the first round and go and get Derek Queen. And I think that's the big thing with both of these guys. I think they really see all-star potential in both of them, and they really believe these guys can be dynamic in some of the things they could do on the court. Now, finding a way to bring that out of those guys while you also still are trying to win with Zion Williams and Trey Murphy and all these guys, I think it's going to be an interesting task for Willie Green, and also the pressure of not giving up a bad pick to Atlanta next year. Right? I think all of that is going to be hanging over this team. But I think, you know, if you just look at it in a vacuum, man, in pre-draft, people were talking about Derek Queen and Jeremiah Fears as both top 10 picks. So you walk away with two top 10 picks at premium positions, at positions where you needed help. You got to feel pretty good if you're the Pelicans, but now it's just a matter of finding a way to develop those guys and win at the same time. I think that's something that a lot of teams are finding difficult, you know, prioritizing the present and the future.
We'll round out your thoughts about the draft class. Talking about Micah Peavy, the kid out of Georgetown. Seems like a true three-level scorer, plays some good defense, pretty good rebounder. Just your overall thoughts on what the Pels got in this kid.
Yeah, just a veteran guy, been around, played under several coaches, played in a bunch of big games in college. You saw the gradual improvement in his game throughout his college career. But I think he also comes in with an understanding of how he's going to make his money in the league, and that's going to be defending, scoring in transition, using his athleticism. So he's a guy who can do additional offensive things if you ask him to do it. But I think the most important thing for him is coming in, learning from Herb Jones, learning from Trey Murphy, how to be that 3-and-D type of guy, make those corner threes, be versatile defensively. And I think that's a guy who can come in and contribute immediately, because they're going to need that help on the wing behind Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, where obviously they traded for Sadiq Bey. I think there's a potential for them to add maybe one more guy into that mix. But I definitely think we're going to see some Micah Peavy this year as they figure out that wing rotation behind, you know, their main guys in the starting lineup.
You know, well, I wanted to bring up we already talked about Kevon Looney, but looking a little bit ahead, because we're on day two of free agency, you know, are you anticipating any more kind of major moves for the Pelicans? We've heard different things about, you know, maybe that they're pretty content with the roster that they've built for this upcoming season. Others have said, oh, well, there's probably another move coming. Just want to get your general thoughts on if the Pelicans need to make another move this offseason in free agency, and if so, what kind of positions you would target?
I mean, whenever we talk about free agency, you got to give the caveat that, hey, man, you might wake up one morning to see the Bucks cut Damian Lillard out of nowhere. So, I mean, free agency brings its own set of challenges as far as trying to predict what the next day is going to look like. But I would say, if you were to ask me if the Pels have any big moves under their belt, I don't think so. I think they feel pretty good about where they are. The Jordan Poole move, bringing in these draft picks, bringing in Kevin Looney to fortify your front court. Like I said, I think they probably want to add one more wing, one more veteran guy to that bench unit. They're going to be making some phone calls in the coming days. But I think they feel pretty good about where they are now. The big question is, again, what's going to happen with these young guys, and can they keep the main guys healthy? Zion Williamson, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, the main question always with this team. And if they can, when you look around at this roster, man, they got a lot of talent.
And then, Will, we're 9 days away from Summer League. It's such a flurry of stuff, because Game 7 of the finals was basically a week and a half ago, and then all of a sudden you have the draft, and then you have free agency opening up, and then Summer League is right around the corner. I just want to get your thoughts, because the Pelicans having those 3 draft picks, also potentially some second-year players getting involved in Summer League as well, what you're kind of looking for from the team heading to Vegas starting on July 10th?
Yeah, I mean, it seems obvious with Jeremiah Fears, man. I think a lot of times with these Summer League teams, you see the coaches – have a willingness to just, you know, hand the rock to your young guard and let him operate, let him work. And I think you really want to see that from Jeremiah Fears, him run the show, him kind of show what makes him special, making plays. producing those paint touches. I think a lot of times with these really good guards, you see it immediately, right? You don't have to wait and guess if these guys are good. They show it early on, and I think that's what you want to see from Jeremiah Fears, is him just pop off the screen in these games with his athleticism, with his ability to make plays off the dribble. You want to see him get to it. I think potentially Antonio Reeves is going to be out there with him, so he might have some veteran help in the backcourt, bringing a few other guys. But I just want to see Fears pop in these games, and I think that's going to be something to be excited about.
Well, do you think a guy like Yves Missi will take part in the Summer League this year, or nah?
I doubt it, just because, he's already solidified himself as a starter. Maybe you did, never say never, but I would say Makovich is a guy potentially who might be out there. I think definitely Derek Queen. We're going to see a heavy dose of Derek Queen for sure.
Always appreciate the time, Will. Thanks so much. What you got cooking up for The Athletic?
Yeah, man, we're still evaluating what's going on with this free agency period, seeing how the chips are falling for the Pelicans team. I think I'm going to be writing sooner just about the depth chart and how things are looking, and just what the expectation is now with this new team, very young, a lot of athletes, but also a lot of uncertainty. And I think that's what we're going to be covering all offseason with this group.
Awesome stuff as always. Thanks a lot, Will. Have a great night.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Will.
The Athletic's Will Guillory joining us there, breaking all things down with the Pelicans. And yeah, I don't know, Charlie. I worry sometimes, are we being too much of the homers? But the whole thing with Looney just blew my mind when I was seeing so much negativity around the signing there. It seemed like a great rotational veteran piece that has championship experience.
Like, maybe it's I just don't know what universe.
I think it's just easy to pile on the negativity on the Pels.
I guess, but I don't know what universe that bringing in a rotational big that's going to play 20 minutes per game off the bench and provide you the strong defense, rebounding, screening, like doing all the dirty work. What universe is that a D, especially when it's 2 years, $16 million? You're giving the guy $8 million average annual value. It's not a gigantic deal, but Kevin Pelton gives it a D. I don't know. Maybe it is us being a little bit homerish, Steve. I don't understand it. I'm right there with Guillory. I think it's a great move.
Yeah, but with the Pels have a ton approved this season, so do the Saints. So hopefully everybody's got their bulletin board material or whatever it is to help fuel them that extra to go into this year and prove all the doubters wrong. Because, man, oh, man, there are a ton of naysayers.